This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to today's episode on the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, as always, Richard James Rogers, and it is my profound pleasure today to be discussing a very, very important topic in education right now, and that is how teachers can handle frustration. And why do I say that this is so important right now in education? It's been an issue for a long time, but especially today, because teacher stress, teacher burnout, and teacher frustration has never been as high as it is today. I'm going to read to you a little article here from Schools Week. This is by Russell Glass, who's the CEO at Headspace. And the title of the article is How Stressed Are Teachers Compared with Other Professions? This was published in May 2023. And this is what the article says. The age-old and much-debated question of who has the most stressful job in the UK may have found its answer. The Headspace 2023 Workforce Attitudes Toward Mental Health report finds that the British population overwhelmingly, it says, everybody, deems education to be the most stressful career path, with a staggering 93% of those in the profession feeling stressed at least once a week. Wow. It goes on to say, the education sector was one of eight sectors involved in this latest report, which analysed the state of workplace well-being. Education came out on top, beating even financial services and insurance for stressfulness. Some really harrowing figures there, everyone. The next article I'm going to read is from The Educator Australia. This is from February 2024, and this relates to a new wellbeing policy. Let's listen to this. It says, and I quote, cruel wellbeing approach adding to teachers' stress, study finds. Challenges and problems faced by overworked teachers are being intensified by expectations placed on them to manage their own wellbeing. New research from Curtin University shows. The study, which examined teachers' discussions on the online platform Reddit, also found the impact of working conditions and broader policies on teacher welfare are often ignored. Co-author Dr. Saul Kanofsky from Curtin's School of Education said through their analysis, the researchers coined the phrase cruel well-being to describe programs that overlooked the difficult work conditions faced by teachers and asked them to be solely responsible for their well-being through positive thinking strategies. Obviously very patronizing when teachers are stressed, overworked, dealing with multitudes of problems to say, here's some positive thinking strategies. We are adults, of course. We know that the problems are lying in the way the system is being run in many schools, and many teachers are feeling burnout. Many teachers are feeling stress right now. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I can solve every school's problem through a podcast. If I visited your school, I could quickly analyse what's going wrong and could help you in that way. So do get in touch if you'd like me to visit. However, what I have come up with is a strategy that is designed to help any teacher facing frustration especially with regards to stopping that frustration making your life worse than it needs to be. And this has come from my own experience and my own blunders and mistakes over the years. When we are frustrated, when we are stressed, and there are so many things in the teaching profession that can cause this. We could be frustrated at an email that someone has sent us. We could be frustrated at a deadline we suddenly have to meet. We could be frustrated with a student-teacher interaction. We could be frustrated with duties we have to do and an incident that may have happened and we were there but maybe we didn't notice what we should have noticed. We might be stressed out because a senior leader or a manager has not really communicated effectively. There are so many things that can cause frustration in the teaching profession. So I've come up with a system that is guaranteed to help you. It's called the four S's. The four S's. This is what it stands for. Stop, smile, sleep, and send. I'll say that again. Stop, smile, sleep, and send. What does that mean, essentially? When an incident happens that causes you as a teacher to be frustrated, and I'm talking from experience, everybody, the first thing to do is to stop. Don't immediately reply with the email of hell or the email from hell that is filled with all of your hatred and angst. Don't respond emotionally. Stop. Just stop. If you're frustrated as someone's talking to you, stop. If you're frustrated because of an email or an incident, stop. Whatever it is, stop. Next stage, smile. Just smiling will make you feel a bit better. Stop, smile, and sleep. Now, I'm not saying sleep right then and there when you're frustrated. What I mean is the age-old adage, of sleep on it. You may have heard this phrase before, sleep on it. Big, big piece of advice that I wish someone would have given me during my teacher training is to take a step back and sleep on it. And there have been a few times in my career where if I'd have just slept on it and waited until the next day, I would have saved myself even more problems. Because we cause ourselves major problems often when we're frustrated and we respond by reflex action through our emotions, when we're angry, when we're annoyed, when we're tired. There was one teacher I remember who I worked with when I was a trainee teacher, actually, and she was really, really overworked and she was staying late after school one day. She was a physics teacher. And I was there as well at that time, and it was about 4 p.m. and she had to stay another hour to do something for work. And she just broke down crying all of a sudden. She dropped something in the science prep room. She dropped a piece of glassware or something. And she just broke down in tears. She had a nervous breakdown in front of me. And she just started crying. I want to go home. I want to go home. And she was crying and blurting it out. The technician had to help her. I tried to support her as a 23-year-old, actually a 22-year-old newbie to teaching. I was a kid myself. And here was a grown adult in her 30s or 40s just breaking down in front of me. Not the inspiration I needed to enter the teaching profession. Now, it wasn't a major incident in terms of her career, but she was embarrassed about it the next day. When she had to see me the next day and see the technician, the people who were there, she was visibly embarrassed by what had happened, by her lack of emotional control. And everybody, I'm not judging. I'm really not judging. Teachers are more stressed than ever before. I'm sure she had many issues going on in her life and maybe breaking down and crying was absolutely the understandable response in that situation. And I have a lot of sympathy for teachers who feel as though sometimes they just can't handle everything. But you must stop, smile, sleep, and then send. Now, what do I mean by send? It means respond. That's what I'm saying. Stop, smile, go home, sleep on it. The next day, send that response email if you need to. Deal with the issue. Talk to the person who's frustrated you. Deal with the incident or follow up on the incident that's maybe put you in a little bit of trouble or caused you to stress or caused you to feel anxious. Approach it the next day if you can. If you can. And I have found everybody, almost every time in the teaching profession, when something comes up that frustrates me, I do have time to stop, smile, sleep, and send, or respond, or deal with that incident. So stop, smile, sleep, and send. Another incident I can remember, I was in China, when I worked in China, and let me tell you, everybody, the Chinese teachers I worked with, they were really working flat out. I mean, wow. We're talking coming into school at 7 a.m. in the morning and not leaving until 10 p.m. at night. And that was normal. That was normal. As an international teacher, a British teacher in that school, I wasn't expected to work even half as much as those Chinese teachers. And they were really getting it. And there was constant fear because they could be replaced at any moment because, of course, the job market in China is very, very competitive. So there was this constant fear that they had to perform or they'd be replaced. And one colleague of mine, she had a desk next to mine in the staff room. And again, one day she just broke down crying. She was crying. She was basically saying how stressed she was. Some of her colleagues came over and patted her on the shoulder and said, "You'll be okay." I tried to as well. And she calmed down eventually. And again, when she saw me the next day, she was visibly embarrassed that happened. We all have those moments, everybody, where life just gets a bit too much sometimes. The worst kind of expression of frustration is when you respond immediately in an unprofessional way. An incident I can remember years ago when I was at an international school here in Thailand was when there was an altercation between two teachers in the staff room. And this one teacher, who was a Thai language teacher, said something to the art teacher in the staff room. And she responded in front of everyone with this big rant. And she was saying to him, "This is not acceptable. This is unprofessional. You're unprofessional. It's not good enough." And she just kept going on and on, berating this guy over whatever it was. I don't even know what the incident was. And after she'd finished shouting at this guy, berating him, she walked out of the staff room and everyone just looked at this guy and say, "Don't worry about that. You're fine. You didn't do anything wrong. She was unprofessional to talk to you like that." And again, it caused her some kickback. You know, she was spoken to by certain people in senior leadership, and her respect level amongst her peers went down dramatically after that incident. And people do remember these things. And the teaching profession, unfortunately, is built upon reputation. You know, don't shoot the messenger, everybody. I'm just the bearer of reality here. There is so much expected of us as teachers, and most of the time we're not paid handsomely for it either. But the job is very rewarding in terms of the holidays we get, and not just that, of course, the satisfaction of helping our students. It's the best part of the job. I would never not want to be a teacher. I love teaching. I love my job. But it does have its moments. Wow, does it have its moments. And we have all got to remember too. What are those four S's again, everybody? Stop, smile, sleep, and send. Stop, smile, sleep, and send. Remember those four S's. Stop, smile, sleep, and send. What do I mean by send? Send that email response, talk to the person, deal with the incident is what I'm talking about. So, very interesting topic. Beyond these things, there are times when schools can be quite hostile places. Not every school is the same around the world. And there can be moments that happen as a teacher that do need to be dealt with instantly. And you can't sleep on it and respond the next day. Although I will say most of the time you can do that, I've found. In my experience, most of the time you can sleep on it and respond the next day. But what if you can't sleep on it? What if it's something that's immediate? In that situation, we have to, as teachers, train ourselves to be emotionally detached from the situation. Now, if you're interested in this, it's a technique called detached objectivity. And I'll put a link in the show notes of this podcast episode with some information about detached objectivity. I first learned about it in a book called Corporate Confidential a long time ago, a book I read. And it's the action of removing your emotions and removing yourself from the situation and looking at it objectively as if you are an outsider. And we have to respond professionally. Beyond that as well, everybody, those of you who've been following me for a long time will know that I am an advocate for never gossiping at school. Gossip is the biggest enemy of a harmonious, collegiate school environment. Do not engage in gossip at school, and do not be around people either who gossip, because the wrong person could walk in, someone who's being gossiped about, and you're there sat with that crowd, and all of a sudden, that person thinks you've been gossiping about them. Or it filters up to senior management. And you'll be surprised, everybody, how many people will sit in a gossiping session, will take part or be passive listeners, and they will go and pass on that to senior management. Hey, by the way, Paul, by the way, Tom, you know, this guy was saying this about you in the staff room today. This person said this yesterday. You have to be very, very careful, everybody. Yes, have warm, friendly relationships with your teacher colleagues. Yes, of course, have harmonious relationships with our teacher colleagues. But you must remember that they are your colleagues. They are not the friends you can hang around with in your hometown and just let loose. And I stand by that. There's a lot of people who disagree with me about this point. But I stand by it because your colleagues are well capable. And I'm sorry if this sounds negative, but you need to know the truth. Your colleagues are fully capable of reporting you to senior management and making life difficult for you if you engage in gossip, if you respond emotionally. So we must not gossip. We must not respond emotionally. We must remember the four S's when we get frustrated. Quick quiz, what are the four S's again? Stop, smile, sleep, and send. Stop, smile, sleep, then send the email. Okay, and I don't mean sleep right then in the classroom. I mean go home, sleep on it, deal with it the next day. You'll be in a much better emotional state the next day. Now, beyond that, everybody, I have worked at two schools in my past that were very, very poorly managed. And it is just the game that we're in as teachers. There are some schools that you may have worked at or you may work at future at in, did I say that right? That you may work at in future or you might be working at now where management is very, very poor. There may be poor communication. Deadlines may be unreasonable. You might have a very hostile management system, as I did when I worked in China. You may have a KPI system where teachers are ranked based on performance. That happens in some schools. You may have a lot of workload. If you're finding that your school is becoming a hostile environment and incidents are coming up all the time or very, very regularly, and you're getting really stressed out about this, I recommend you consider looking for a new school to work at. And I mean that seriously. Look at your options, get your CV built up, do some courses, get some experience, but look at moving out of your school, maybe entering the private sector, maybe teaching internationally, where you'll find that behavior, generally speaking, is very good, but expectations are still very high in terms of your content delivery and your professionalism. But think about that. And that's scary for some people. It was scary for me when I left the UK all those years ago, back in 2006. And I actually didn't do that because I was a refugee from teaching. I didn't do it because I wanted to escape the UK. That wasn't the reason. I was actually in a relationship with a Thai woman who did her master's degree in the UK. And she had to come back to Thailand. So I followed her I got a job in Thailand. And I've never looked back since, because I can tell you, when I started at that first school in Thailand, it was like dying and going to heaven. It really was. The students were so well behaved, so focused. They did their work on time. They wanted to impress me as their teacher. They were very compliant. It was very, very different to my experience of teaching in the UK, which I actually thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. I really enjoyed teaching in the UK, but it was very challenging, not least because of the red tape and the bureaucracy. Even back then in 2006, that I found that I was constantly embroiled in the paperwork and the oftentimes needless or seemingly needless tasks that I was involved in from time to time. So there's lots of things, everybody, that can cause frustration. I think it's very important as teachers that we're not negative people. We don't spread gossip at school. That's not a good way to deal with frustration. It's never a good way. It always backfires. Remember that as well. Gossip always backfires. Always. Always. So never gossip at school. Never spread negativity. If you have got a problem, if you are frustrated, if you're worried, if you're anxious, if something has happened, and hey, let me tell you, we all make mistakes, everybody, and I mean that seriously. And as teachers, we are doing a very, very complex job. We're dealing with children. We're dealing with human beings. Human beings are the most complex organism on the planet. So we're doing a very, very complex job. We can't be expected to be perfect every day. We just can't. And you shouldn't expect that of yourself. Aim for it, but don't expect to be perfect every day. We all make mistakes. When that happens, when an incident happens, we're frustrated, we make mistakes, whatever that is, we have got to stop, smile, sleep, and send, respond, deal with that. Talk to people, everybody, talk to people. If you're finding that something's really bugging you at school, you've got to speak up. Talk to your line manager, talk to a senior leader, talk to a colleague if you have to, not in a gossipy way, but to seek advice. And you'd be surprised, actually, at how willing people will be to help you. Be polite, of course, when you speak up and you talk to your colleagues, especially if that person is a senior leader or someone above you, and you feel that you're doing something that shouldn't be done or something that's pointless. I mean, I'm dealing with a slight incident right now where there's a kind of mismatch between the expectation of what some of my students are supposed to know and the reality of what they can handle. So I'm dealing with that by talking to relevant people and trying to come up with a solution. And that's what it's all about, everybody. We've got to be solution focused as teachers, because it's too risky to become negative and to sink into that cycle of complaining, because it is a cycle and it is very contagious and it leads to a very negative work environment. And I've been at several in my career. So to summarize, everybody, number one, never ever gossip. That's never a good way to deal with frustration. Number two, remember the four S's when anything happens that causes frustration for you. Stop, smile, sleep, and send. Stop, smile, sleep, and send that email, respond, talk to the person, whatever it may be. Thirdly, if you find that your school is a very hostile environment and you are constantly dealing with issues, consider building up your portfolio, getting skilled up, getting some certifications, and looking for a new school. Sometimes you're going to be in a place, or you may be at a school, where there is poor management. It does happen sometimes. And the final thing is, talk to people, talk to someone. Don't keep frustration pent up inside. Talk to someone at school. In a polite way, not in a complaining, negative way, but in a polite way. You know, by the way, this is happening. I was wondering what your thoughts are, because I want to find a solution to this problem and be solution focused. That has to be our mindset, everyone. When we're frustrated, our mindset has to be not, this is awful, this is terrible, I hate my job, I hate that my school, this person's to blame, that person's to blame, this isn't professional, blah, blah, blah. That is not the mindset that we can adopt as teachers. Our students are depending upon us to be positive, to be happy, to be cheerful for them. And that makes a massive difference in the classroom. We cannot enter the classroom with a negative, depressed, sad mentality, a low energy mentality. We cannot have that. We cannot do that. We owe our students more than that. So we've got to be solution focused. And that starts with detached objectivity. Looking at that problem as if you are an outsider and thinking, how can we break this down? How can we solve this? So everybody, I do hope that was both an interesting and a helpful podcast episode. I hope it wasn't patronizing. If it was, I apologize. I really don't mean to patronize anyone. I'm just speaking from experience, guys. I really am. I've been in the situation. I've been the person who has sent that email out of frustration. I've been that person, and it's had kickback. You know, I've been that person who's responded emotionally straight away when an incident has happened, and it's caused friction later on between me and that person, you know. So I'm speaking from experience. I know these things happen. You've heard the news articles today talking about teacher stress and teacher burnout. Let's deal with it professionally. All of my students, my fan club who listen to this podcast episode, if I can be so brazen to call you my fan club, I expect all of you to be the best that you can be. And you can only be the best that you can be when you are solution focused, when we are solution focused. Well, that's it for today, everybody. If you do have a request, please do email me at info at richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's info at richardjamesrogers.com. And of course, why not check out my blog for teachers, which has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of useful articles that you can cite and research and read and use to help you with all aspects of classroom management. There's even things on behavior management there, active engagement, marking, feedback, assessment. Everything teaching related is on that blog. So check it out. Once again, that's richardjamesrogers.com. And why not check out my award-winning, best-selling book for high school teachers, which is called The Quick Guide to Classroom Management, 45 Secrets That All High School Teachers Need to Know. Once again, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management, 45 Secrets That All High School Teachers Need to Know. And everybody, your purchase of that book, which I'm incredibly grateful for, helps to support this podcast production. And also, you're getting a great book that's filled with great tips that's going to help you in your job and help others as well, because you'll be able to pass on those secrets to them as well. So thank you, everybody. Until next time, bye-bye for now.